Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6. That's the whole chapter, by the way. About being blessed, being God's blessed man or God's blessed person. When we talk about man, we don't mean to exclude the ladies in the congregation. It's just a phrase. And so when we speak about God's blessed man, we're talking about all of you, not just, it's a gender neutral term, although it seems like it's not. So anyway, most of us, and all of you, I think, did answer affirmatively when I said, who wants to be blessed of God? And actually, your presence here right now kind of indicates that. You've made a choice today to be in God's house. All but one of you were here this morning, and that one was ill, but has come this afternoon. And for that, we are grateful and glad to have that you were able to make it this afternoon. But we all want to be blessed of God. And the first step in God's way of blessing, of course, is salvation. And we talked about the way of the cross and embracing the cross this morning. And that's the first thing. If you really want to have God's blessing, you need to embrace what's the entire message of the Bible. And that's salvation through Jesus Christ. If you really want to be blessed, you have to embrace that. There's no formula for blessing that does not begin with faith. Faith still changes things, moves mountains. Without faith, it's still impossible to please God. You have to have faith. So we, as we read this scripture, we're going to, and I believe this scripture is going to assume that salvation has already taken place. We're going to assume that in your lives today, that salvation has already taken place. And I believe by just my judgment, which my judgment's not pure, I can judge wrong at times, but just from my point of view from up here, I believe you probably are all saved today, or at least that's my hope. Only you know for sure. Let's read the scripture. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in this congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we bless you again, and thank you for our salvation today. I ask now, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our eyes to see your word, to readily accept it, and to diligently apply it. In Christ's name, amen. We see here a picture of the godly, a picture of the ungodly, the failure of the ungodly people, the fruition of lifestyles, where God eventually recognizes the godly and shows that the ungodly will be ruined in this passage of Scripture today. But we want to be God's blessed person. And so here's a prescription for that. You go to the doctor and he diagnosed you with something. Sometimes you don't know what you have, but he'll give you a prescription oftentimes and say, try this. Let's see if that works. I guess that's why that's really crazy, isn't it? They don't know sometimes. Recently, my father-in-law went to the doctor and had a foot that was swelling and hurting and just wasn't getting any better. So he goes to a practitioner, and the doctor says, well, I don't know what's wrong with it. get your prescription of this cream and put it on there, and I believe it'll get better. No, at first he said, get you some hose, some of those pressure stockings, and put it on there, and I believe it'll get better. That didn't work, so get you this prescription of this salve and put it on there, and I believe that'll work. Well, neither one of them worked. In fact, it got worse. The doctor never one time took an x-ray. He didn't do any further diagnostics. He'd just say, well, try this. Try that. Fine, took him to a different doctor who was a foot doctor. He says, we need to do an x-ray. First thing off, let's do an x-ray. I can't diagnose this without an x-ray. They take an x-ray, and he's got a crushed bone in that foot, in that toe area. It looks like it is either degenerated by cause of age, or maybe because of sugar diabetes, or maybe because of cancer. He didn't know for sure, but they did blood work. They did all the things necessary to do their best to properly diagnose what was going on in this man's life. And then he says, try this particular salve. Now they go back to the doctor. He says, I believe you broke it at some time or another. There's no indication of cancer. There's no indication of gout. There's no indication of sugar diabetes causing this. I believe somewhere along the line, the last few weeks, you broke that toe, and you just didn't know it. So we're going to put you in this boot. We're going to prescribe this boot. And you wear that boot for several weeks or months or however it's going to take, and we believe that toe will fuse back together. The swelling will go down, and you'll be able to walk properly. A prescription based upon proper diagnosis. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't have to do a ongoing diagnosis. Well, actually, he does through the Spirit of God, through his Spirit. But he diagnosed what we need, and he's already gave us the prescription. It's called the Word of God. And if we will apply that like a salve, or like a foot boot, or like a sling, or a cast, or a shot with a needle, whatever way you want to take this word, whatever, and a lot, however you want to do it, if you apply this word, it'll make you better. So let's give you a prescription to be, or for blessing today, to be God's blessed man. There's dangers, of course, to being God's blessed man. There's dangers all along the way, and there'll be detours. You ever driven to Oklahoma City at any particular time, any direction, on any highway, I should say, and every now and then you come upon an accident will cause a detour, or a road construction will cause a detour, but there's detours along the way. Oftentimes, you don't get to go the direct route that you intended to take. You have to take a detour, and it'll eventually get you to where you're going. But there's detours. So there's detours in this road of life that we're traveling for Christ, just the same as there is the road of life we travel in our cars. There are detours every now and then, and things happen that we're not expecting. You might be a flat tire, you might blow a motor, you might have a rock go through your windshield, but there's things happen every now and then that causes detours or setbacks in our lives. So there's some dangers as God's blessed man, as well as the blessings that come from it. And there's a threefold danger that we see here in the Word of God. In verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So we must always walk in the counsel of God. He says here, there's a danger if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the opposite of blessing is cursing or danger or something bad going on. So if you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you need to understand that they're going to probably be ready to give you some advice. They'll always want to tell you what to do, and usually it'll be the wrong thing to do, especially if it's spiritual advice. The ungodly doesn't know how to advise you spiritually. I don't understand why a Christian ever goes to a person who's a marginal Christian or not even in church and asks them, what do you think I ought to do? Or what church do you think I ought to attend? Or what do you think about the pastor down there? They may have some insight to that pastor down there. They may know some indiscretion he has done, maybe outside of the church. And if that's the case, you might need to listen to that a little bit and maybe check it out a little further before you would go there. But for them to give you advice on where to go to church is really, really their advice, in my opinion, would be irrelevant. Why would you want them to tell you how to be spiritual or where to find spiritual life? They don't know. That you might find the ways of the ungodly ready to give you some advice in the form of some literature, some form of advertising, some form of entertainment. They're always wanting to give you advice of where to go to have the most fun. I mean, my goodness, the television test is just burned up with Riverwind and this casino and that casino and this gaming and that gaming and this place to get a burger and that place to get a burger and this place to buy a car and all kinds of advice. And really, no matter what that commercial says, you probably ought to go check that place out before you would even buy a car from them. Find out if they're really reputable. Find out they stand behind their word. Come on now. But they give you all kinds of advice. So the Bible teaches us not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'd a lot rather hear what you had to say about a Dodge truck, Brother Ron, as I would for the commercials. I know they're Ram tough, but I won't know if they're Ron tough. I won't know if they'll hold up under your heavy foot. You know? You understand what I'm saying? I want to know if they'll hold up. I don't want to know what they tell me they do. I want to know what you tell me it does. Have you had good luck out of that Hemi motor? Have you had good luck out of that F-250? You understand? I want to know how it holds up so I can get my best advice from people who's owned them. You understand where I'm going? Why would I go to the world to find out spiritual things? I need to go to the people who walk in the Spirit and who are led of the Spirit to find out about spiritual things in my life. I don't need to go to the ungodly. And nor should I stand in the way of the sinners. First you'll listen, and then you'll live with them and do what they tell you as the twig is bent. You'll end up being one of them. You'll be being like they are. We don't need to stand in the way of the sinners. We don't need to live and walk like they do. Shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Bible tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, says the pastor at Countryside. Says John Hagee. Phil Yancey. Y'all don't know who that is. He's just an author that writes Christian books. Never read one of them, but he does write them. No. It says, thus saith the Lord. So don't walk in the way or stand in the way of sinners. Don't do what they do. Do what the Word of God teaches you to do, and you'll be a blessed person. And nor should you sit in the seat of the scornful. Note the progression. First you listen to them, then you stand with them, and then you sit down with them. And you'll end up making fun of God's standards. If you begin to run with the wrong crowd, pretty soon their influence will be bigger in your life than the influence of the Word of God and the people of God. Have you ever noticed how that happens? People begin to have fellowship and run around with some ungodly people that people don't go to church or people are marginal in the church, and pretty soon they're thinking like they're thinking. Instead of thinking like the people, maybe they went to the same church for 15 years and they start running with the wrong crowd. And pretty soon, there ain't nothing right about nothing in that church. Got to find me another one. I got to get out of here. It amazes me, and it always amazes me every time this happens. This happened several times over the years. I'll be for 5 years in a row, every sermon almost, every service. And this has happened to me more than once. You're the best preacher I've ever sat under. But, I'll tell them always that's not true. Oh, yes, it is, too. I've never sat under one like you before. Well, I can believe that. But to say I'm the best one you've ever sat under, and you've never heard nobody put it out there like that before, and that might be true too, but you understand, to say I'm the best, and boy, I'll never leave this church, and then all of a sudden, they don't show up, and you call and say, my goodness, you're the worst preacher I ever heard in my life. You don't love nobody. You preach hateful all the time. Like, now, wait a minute. For 5 years in a row, I preached the same way, used the same ugly expressions. I can't help my expressions. I don't see what else y'all see, so forgive me. It may get ugly sometime. I don't know. I try not to, but every once in a while, it just happens. My personality comes out. I'm ugly. Don't mean to be. But you understand? And then all of a sudden, they don't want nothing to do with that church, and they'll try to take everybody they can with them. What is wrong with that? Somebody listened to the wrong people. You can't go from that good to that bad in 1 week's time. It just don't happen that way. But it's happened to me a lot. I just come back next Sunday and say, hey, let's have church. I may not tell y'all that, but I have to tell myself that. I got to get up every morning and say, well, we're going to have church. We're going to still serve the Lord. Well, ain't I talk about it. So, well, we're going to still serve God. We're not going to listen to it. We're just going to keep preaching. When he tells us to leave that church, we'll leave that church. But not until he tells us to. I'm, you know, serious. We're not leaving until God tells us to. Now, if all enough of y'all leave, I guess we'll get the hint. Eventually. But you understand, if you're not careful, you'll sit in the seat of the scornful, then you begin to make fun of God's standards, you begin to make fun of God's church, and the road of the scornful is always down. Always downward. It never goes up. You'll never make it to the mountaintop. You always go down. So you have to watch out for these dangers. And then there's the light of God's blessed man, verse 2. It says this, but his delight, who's that? The blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of God, is his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. Can I suggest to you that you meditate on the word of God, excuse me, as often as you can? Sing songs to yourself. Think about the word of God. Bless him. That's prayer too, folks. That's how you pray without ceasing. You're not just on your knees praying. You're not just praying a prayer. Sometimes you're singing a song, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're letting that song bless you, and then that song, the words of that song is a prayer to God, and you pray as, oh, God. Come on now. Some of them songs will cause you to start praying. Because you, and nothing else, you'll start thanking him. Oh, Lord, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I can go out feeding my cows, and I can look around that pasture and look at my baby calves and stuff, and I think, God, I am blessed. You gave me the desire of my heart. I love cattle most of the time. They kick at me or run at me. I don't like them so well. But you understand, I like cattle. I don't have very many, but I like messing with them things. And that is a blessing to me. It is a blessing. Now, look at my place out there. It ain't worth a whole lot, but it's our place. It's our home. It's paid for. And I think, man, God, you have blessed me. My house is paid for. They can't kick me out. They may take it away from me for some reason, but they can't kick me out because I didn't pay for it. You know, it's a blessing. And that causes thanksgiving in my heart. And I know it's because I'm not sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm not stood with sinners. My delight has been in God. And God then has gave me the delight of my heart and has blessed me. And he does that for you also. Many of you are blessed beyond measure. You need to understand that. So we delight in the law of the Lord. And we have learned to make God's word our delight. To some it's boring, but to us it's blessed. To some it's dull, but to us it's saved. It is delightful. To some it's fantasy, but to us it is food. To some it's information, but to us it's inspiration. To some it's, not very many will make God's word their delight. So you have to move against the tide to do that. We're always swimming upstream as Christians. You are. You're like a salmon trying to get to the back to the breeding grounds, get to that place where you can lay the eggs. You're always going upstream, and there's always obstacles, but it's worthwhile. Go against the tide. Go against what the world is doing, and you will be a blessed person. Decide to go with the minority. There's a lot of people going the wrong direction. Go upstream. Be a blessed person. Do what God wants you to do so you can delight and so that He can delight in you. The destiny, there's a destiny that, well, let me go to David's delight. Let's look at that before we move on. Psalms 119. I don't guess I gave you those scriptures, did I? I know I didn't. Psalms 119, verse 16. And it goes like this right here. It says, and this is David writing. Something that's written in Psalms. It says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You won't be a blessed person today. Don't forget God's word. Delight in the word of God. Verse 16 of that same chapter. Was that what I just read? Verse 47 of that same chapter, I should say. It says this, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. A blessed person, a person, a man or woman of God, loves God's word. You love the order that God's word brings to your life when you obey it and follow it. You like conforming to the word of God so that He can bless you and so you can be like a tree planted by the water. We'll be there in a minute. Psalm 119, verse 77 says, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. You want the blessings of God? You want these things flowing in your life? Let the word of God be your delight. Enjoy God's word. Don't let it become mundane as you read the Bible through this year. Find something in there that will encourage you. When you read about the hard things, find you another passage that will tell something good. You're going to learn from the hard things, by the way. I've learned just by reading recently, just in Jeremiah, that although God, he would pronounce this is what I'm going to do. However, He'd always give them an option. If you'll do this, I won't do that. It was always there. This is what I'm going to do because you've turned your back on me and I don't delight in you and you don't delight in me no more. But if you'll turn back to me, then I'll stop the judgment. I'll bring you out of captivity. I'll make you blessed if you just follow me. But if you don't, I'm going to bring judgment. And the judgment was always to cause them to turn back to Him. He loved them enough to chastise them. But we are to delight in the Word of God. And then there's a destiny for us. Back chapter 1, verse 3, says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the blessed person of God. Be like a tree planted by the waters. The roots reach deep into the stream, and it's drawing water, cool water, life-giving water from that stream constantly. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be planted by the river of living water, drawing our source of life from it constantly. And we'll be blessed. This river represents the Holy Ghost. We need the river of life, the Holy Spirit of God flowing in us constantly, giving us life, given us power, given us that strength we need to stand. We should be like trees planted by the rivers of water, drawing our source of power from Almighty God through His Holy Spirit. Then it says, this tree shall bring forth fruit. If you look at Galatians, I won't go over there, the fifth chapter and the 22nd and 23rd verse, you'll see what that fruit is, the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit will be in your life. There might be a bad spot in it every now and then, but you'll cut it out and it'll heal and you'll go again. Sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we forget that that fruit is part of our life. Every now and then our joy is not quite what it ought to be, and we lack the joy of the Lord, which is our strength that we really need, and peace seems to be a long way away, and we forget to be long-suffering with those that are around us, and then kindness kind of just takes a back seat, and we don't want to be good to nobody. Have you ever been there? You're struggling with the fruit of the Spirit, and you know you're supposed to do these things, but yet it's just difficult and it's hard. But then faithfulness flows, and gentleness, and self-control. And the Bible says against these, there is no law. And it goes ahead and says in the next verse, I end up reading it after all, and these who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And it goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. So if you want to be a blessed person, you need this leaf that will not wither, your testimony. And whatever you do, you're going to prosper. Whatever you put your hand to, it'll prosper. If you'll follow God the way He wants you to do it. So there's a difference between the blessed man and the ungodly. See, like the chaff, when the wind blows, with the grain, and it'll be with the grain until the wind blows, and then it blows away. The old threshing grounds that they used to have, like Gideon used, they would have all that grain out there, and they'd beat that grain down, and then they, on these little mats, and then they'd take it and they'd toss it in the air. And the chaff is lighter than the grain, and it would blow away, and the grain would drop back down to the ground, back down onto their mat. That chaff's going to blow away one day. Jesus talked about wheat and tares and said, just go ahead and let the tares grow with the wheat, and one day they'd all be separated. We need to understand that the ungodly are going to stand in judgment one day. We'll all be judged, but they're going to stand in judgment. Blessing or blight? Leave my question to you. Which is it going to be? Blessing or blight? I want to be a blessed person of God. How about you? I am a blessed person of God. How about you? I'm blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. I have food, shelter, and clothing. I am blessed. I have transportation and housing. I am blessed. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. I am blessed. I have a wife that loves me part-time. I'm blessed. She loves me all the time. She just puts up with me part-time. Well, I guess she puts up with me all the time. I have grandchildren who adore me. I'm blessed. I have two of them that hug me every time they see me. I'm blessed. Actually, I have five of them that hug me every time they see me. I'm blessed. I had one yesterday. I went to Lowe's and she was there, and I hollered at her, and she says, I want to go with my grandpa. And we went out to the garden center, and we found us a swing. We sit down and we just swung for a while. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I have three kids, five grandchildren, and they're all in church today. I'm blessed. I got another one on the way, Sister Margie. You do too. Name's going to be Emma Brooke. I'm blessed. I look forward to seeing her in about 3 weeks or so. I'm blessed. Maybe this one will look like us. It don't matter. I'm blessed. I got most of the others look like me, so I can handle not having one look like me. And she's a little girl. She don't look like me anyway. I am blessed. First time you've amen'd me in 5 years. We are blessed. And some of you can say the same thing. You've got kids that are in church. You've got family that are in church. You've got grandkids and children that love you. You've got other people. You are blessed. You've got good jobs and fine clothes and food and shelter. You are blessed. Why is that? Because of God and your hard work. But mostly because of God. We are blessed. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.